Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Hi, I'm Rob Schneider.
And I am Kevin David Thomas.
And this is our favorite thing.
It's my favorite thing.
My favorite thing is to see your face.
Oh, Rob, you always say that.
Oh, I'm such a charmer, but not really. How are you?
I'm good.
I haven't seen you in like forever.
I know this is our first favorite things back in a while.
Quite some time.
You guys, full disclosure, sometimes we record these like four or five in a day, and then we just like do them out. So like sometimes I act like Rob's like, what'd you do today? And I try to like think of something that I didn't say in the previous podcast. Like the jig is up. The man from behind the curtain is gone now.
We've told you.
Yes.
We've told you. Now we have to kill you.
How has your summer been?
My summer has been great.
You were in Pennsylvania. Right?
I was in Pennsylvania. I just got back from directing Rock of Ages at the Millbrook Playhouse.
I wish
rock
you could
on.
See my rock sign. That's a rock sign, right?
That or the ASL for I Love You.
Okay. Well,
it's one of the
making
two.
Making people happy.
But I appreciate it. And I have to tell you, I from your pupils, you are taught. And I will tell you why. I learned a whole bunch of new vocabulary that the young kids use in summer stock.
Yeah.
And can I test you?
Oh, I'm excited.
Because I wanted to see. I felt so old. And I never feel old, but I feel old. Because I was like, I have no idea what the hell they're talking about right now. Okay. So here we go. I'm going to use it in a sentence as well. So, Kevin, if I were to come up to you and say, Kevin, I have tea for you.
I would say I would like some milk and a little bit of sugar, please.
No.
Or like, I know. Like shade. Like I've got some all tea and no shade.
Yes,
like,
yes.
Like, isn't that like
yes,
from
but
RuPaul's
what does that
Drag
mean?
Race?
Yes.
Like when they're
but
like,
not no shade, just,
like,
just tea.
All tea, no shade.
But like, but I have tea for you. What does that mean if I have tea for you?
So it means that I've got, all tea, no shade. I don't know. What does it mean, Rob?
It means gossip.
Oh, and are you supposed to like pretend like you're drinking your tea like that with your?
I don't know, because I felt so old because I looked at them and said, "I know tea is a nickname for heroin."
Yeah. I didn't even know that.
Oh, well, never. I picked that up. Somebody told me. I don't know who told me. Dare to keep kids off drugs. I don't know who told me. If I said to you, "All tea, no shade," that means I'm giving you the gossip.
Ah, but without any of like
without any
colors
varnish,
on it.
Without embellishment,
that's
just the simple truth. Maybe it means truth. I've got truth for you. Maybe that's
totally.
What the T stands for.
T is for truth. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm glad. Someone's listening right now and laughing their ass off because they're like, you guys.
For
okay,
you.
Good. Bring it.
Okay. Kevin.
Yeah, Rob.
You just need to drop swing right now. Kevin. Kevin, you need to just
people say
drop
this
swing.
With a straight
they
face?
They say it all the time and I'm sitting there looking like an idiot. Like I need a fucking dictionary like a translator.
Really?
Yeah. You need to drop swing, Kevin.
Like what? You need to get your act together.
Yes. Meaning you drop the head.
Yeah.
And take a moment. Like, and you like, swing it back up with a new attitude.
Like an actor does before an audition. Like when they're like, and I'm getting into the song right now.
You might know it as
and I'm ready.
Pretentious.
Yeah.
The young kids now call it drop swing.
Drop swing. Wow. Those are good ones.
Right? And here's the last one.
Okay.
So last night, after Kevin had his seventh beer, Kevin was feeling the fantasy.
Well,
Kevin was feeling
those of you
the fantasy.
Who know me after that seventh beer. Truth. Yes.
Truth. All tea, no shade.
All tea, no shade.
So what does it mean? Truth. Feeling the fantasy?
Just like feeling good.
Feeling real good.
Just feeling the F out of it.
Yes, absolutely. F just meaning like, F major, F minor, F chord. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, you know, F.
Feeling okay,
the F
feeling
out
the
of
F
it.
Out of
that's
it.
What, that's what people in their 30s say instead of saying the F word.
Wow. Yeah. God, you learn something new every day, don't you?
Feeling the...
So once again, we've learned drop swing,
feeling the fantasy,
and the third one was T.
Yeah,
all tea, no shade.
All tea, no shade.
I have to give a big shout out to my cast members who taught me that because they actually sat down and said, "We will teach you the vocabulary." So I need to thank Brad Reinking, James Sella, and Alex Frost, who sat down and gave me a whole lesson in contemporary vocabulary.
And now, you dear listeners, now you can be young and.
Take
and
it
spry as well.
And run with it.
I will. I'm going to try to use those three words. No, you know what? No, I'm not.
I'm not
going to use them at all.
After my lesson, I will say I thank God that I was born when I was, because I don't think I could use those words with a straight face.
Mm-mm. No, or only if like RuPaul's Drag Race was on. Then maybe
do you watch
I could.
RuPaul's Drag Race?
Actually, I love RuPaul's Drag Race.
Do you really?
I didn't watch this last season, but I actually do love this.
Oh, last season was really good. My husband loves it.
We don't get Logo anymore, so like it's...
You don't have cable anymore?
Well, we have some cable, but it's like it's just the constant battle with Time Warner. So like we got rid of some channels, then we got rid of Time Warner. Anyway, this is real exciting, and we just lost about 20 people. But yeah, so yeah, no Logo, but I love RuPaul's Drag Race.
20 people just switched
and
to a podcast.
Does everybody need to know about Verizon versus Time Warner?
Midwestern Polish cooking with Abel Skeever.
If you're
Skeever
a New Yorker, though, you know the struggle is real for your cable here.
The struggle is, that is all tea and no shade. That struggle is real. If you live in New York, you know what my favorite thing is?
What?
Not my favorite thing, but my other favorite thing is if you have Time Warner and you turn on New York One, those newscasters that are always giving the news, they look so haggard. They just missed a subway. Because I'm from L.A. originally, and all those newscasters, like, they're all beautiful. We have a weatherman out there. His name is literally Dallas Rains. I'm not sure. And they all look so, like, polished and beautiful and capped teeth, and they look immaculate. And what happened? There was an earthquake today. Oh, my God. That's wonderful. And then, like, you come on to New York One.
Pat.
It's Roma Torre, and she's just like, there's news. There's a subway, and it collapsed. I don't know what you want from me. I can't get home tonight.
Oh, I love the Halloween parade when that one guy's out. He's like wasted. Like,
I have not seen
this.
Like
the man next door kind of guy. He's like, like the guy from Queens. Like, he's like a dude.
I haven't seen him, and he's talking about Halloween?
I had to change the channel because it's so awkward. And Pat keeps throwing it back to him. And the guy's like just trying to interview people on the street. But nobody wants to talk to New York One. And they're all like, what are you wearing? But he's just like wasted. It's just awkward. It's just.
What are you wearing? Your wife.
Yeah. But at least they do so much Broadway there. So you got to
go. Oh, on New York One?
Roma the weather, does the news, but also does the Broadway and the interviews and like everything else.
This poor woman, she showed up one day to clean toilets and they're like, do you want to be a newscaster? She's like, sure, what do I got to do? Weather, sports,
just read. Can you read?
Traffic, can you read?
Just go.
No?
Just
great. Make it up as you go along, Roma.
No, but we love our friends in New York One.
We do love our friends in New York One. We want to thank them for all the publicity they've given us. I'm staring at a blank TV screen right now. So, Kevin, sorry, for our one listener who's still left. Hi, Dad. Kevin, what is your favorite thing?
All right, so this is where, in case you've forgotten, Rob and I have not shared with each other a CD.
Bodily
a clip,
fluids. Despite contrary belief, Kevin and I have never shared bodily fluids.
Nope.
I love when Kevin and I show up to interview somebody. They're always like, so how long have you two guys been partners?
We're like,
since February. And they're like, wonderful. Then we have to explain to them now we're both married to other people. But thank you so much. Kevin and I are registered at Crate and Barrel.
Exactly. And Pottery Barn. So we actually will share with each other a clip or a piece, an item, a book, whatever, that one of us does not know, and so we're going to guess it. So do you want to go first or I go first? I guess I'll go first.
Up to you.
Yeah. So I've got a... I'm really throwing it back to 1966. And this, dear friends, if you guys are collectors of albums, you're going to be with me on this one. Now, this was originally never released on CD. You know how we collectors of albums, there are certain records, I know you have Angel in the back, in the vault, in the bedroom somewhere. But we have these recordings that were never made on CD. So unless you collect vinyl, you're never going to hear this album ostensibly. Now there's certain people that have gone back and have put a lot of them online now, so you can listen to them. So this piece is a very I want to say majestic theater piece. It was unlike anything of its time in 1966, because obviously you think of 66 and you think of like, well, just a year earlier we had She Loves Me, Mame, the Apple Tree, but this was not like a show kind of like that. This was a very musical piece.
Was it an opera?
No, but it definitely had people with legit voices in it. Some people said, and some, looking back in some of our books that of Stephen Susskind and writers like that, Ken Mandelbaum, they said that this piece was almost like paved the way for Les Miserables. That like that nothing was, because shows weren't sung through back in the 60s. You know what I mean?
1966 sung through piece.
Yep, it opened. It lasted all of 41 shows on the Broadway.
Kevin, I don't know
I'm
what
excited
this is.
About this. So it's called A Time for Singing.
I have never heard of it.
Really?
No, I've heard of it, but I've never heard it.
Oh my gosh, I'm excited. This is great.
Educate me.
All right, here we go. Time for Singing. Everybody, here we go. History lesson, 1966. Picture it. You've got a sort of a fresh composer named John Morris. He had worked on Mel Brooks films doing the music of Producers, Young Frankenstein, and worked with him on the music. He also was a music director on Broadway.
John Morris.
Yeah. He also was a music director like on All American, which Mel Brooks did the book on.
Yeah.
And he did like Hair in the late 60s.
Jeez.
So like this was a year before Hair, a couple years before Hair. In 1966, he wrote this lush Welsh musical called A Time for Singing, based on a book called How Green Was My Valley. Alexander Cohen was the producer on this, who is famous for his, you know, crazy techniques to get people into the... In fact, in this show, when they played, he said that the publicity stunt was that the first 100 ticket buyers to line up at the box office, he would provide you a folding chair and a picnic lunch catered by the local brasserie for the first 100 people sitting in line.
Really?
That was like, this is like the kind of stuff he would do to get people to come see the show.
Could they do that for Hamilton people? Right.
They give you just a free show.
They give you a free show. That's right. They gave you a free show.
But so this was this Welsh small town musical that had 23 individual numbers, not even counting the reprises. So it had all this music, and that was one of the critiques. Like one of the reviewers was like, "You guys, why don't you have more book scenes?
Because
you
talk?
Have to put yourself in this time period and think. Well, they would just be talk, singing. They weren't used to having song, a little bit of speaking, song. You know, but the music is pretty lush and stunning, and it's not overly arched. It's not, you know, like Robert and Elizabeth, which you talked about a couple weeks ago. It's not like that legit. It's definitely musical theater. It's basically takes place in a mining town, you know, in the I want to say late 1800s. I might have the date wrong. And it's basically about a family who are miners, and the miners are all trying to unionize. Classic. And of course, the daughter of this mining family, that she falls in love with the owner of the mine, who is against, you know, the unions, his son. So like, it's got this sort of like across the bounds, you know, relationship, and there is tragedy. It's a memory play, so you get this idea of looking back on what happened. But it is so well scored, and it's a favorite of collectors who like, you know, shows that are like unheard of or untouched.
Is it on CD?
So it is on CD now. So Bruce Kimmel, who has Kritzerland, he's got a record label that does a lot of these older shows that are kind of untouched gems. He remastered it and released like a 1,500 copies.
So
you can get it on CD, I believe, if you do not have a record player like I do.
Okay. Oh, so they recorded it. It was a record. It was sold as a
1966. Record. 1966. I have the record. It's a great, it's a fun piece. But then in 2012, 2013... that recent, they released it. And I'm pretty sure you might be able to get it on iTunes, but I would have to check.
A Time for Singing.
Yeah, A Time for Singing.
Wow, really cool. I've never heard it. Are there any good audition songs in there for folks?
I think there might be for some older generations, older because the lead guy is an older guy who's kind of looking back, but it's definitely a very legit voice.
Yeah.
But there are some really... there's some really, really beautiful songs. I didn't write any
such songs
off the top of
as
my...
Drop Swing, the Drop Swing Ballet. And I've got some tea,
and
no shade.
All tea, no shade.
All tea, no shade.
Just give me honey and milk. The orchestrations are pretty lush when you listen to it. It's by our favorite Don Walker, who did so much in that time period. How Green Was My... There Is Beautiful You Are was a song that's in it. That
There Is Beautiful You Are.
That, right now, those words coming at you don't sound like they make a lot of sense, but in the song, they are beautiful. It's quite a beautiful song.
I still can't get over that there was a play called How Green Was My Valley, and it wasn't a porno. Also starring George Hearn and Elizabeth Allen in their salad days when they were trying to make some extra money.
When they're not doing Same Time Next Year.
When they weren't doing...
Because I feel like that's always like the go-to. Like,
no, it's Agnes of God.
You love your Agnes of God.
But you know what? I was listening to some of the podcasts, and you're right. I can't do Agnes of God anymore, so I think I'm going to switch to Same Time Next Year.
Same Time Next Year is another great one. That's the classic go-to
George
two-hander.
Hearn
or Love Letter. Love
or
letters,
Love Letters.
Too, why not?
It was Love Letters. It was George Hearn, Elizabeth Allen. They did Same Time Next Year.
Oh, gosh.
And How Green Was My Valley in rep until she ruptured her hip.
Then Joyce DeWitt had to take over.
She was replaced by Priscilla Barnes from Three's Company.
Oh, well, now that's really reaching, Rob. That's really. I
could have mentioned Mrs. Roper. But I didn't.
Bless.
I didn't. So a time for singing.
Yeah, if you're like your Les Mis's and you want to see kind of where, like, you know, the roots of that came from, I would say, look, go back to Time for Singing, listen to this beautiful score, listen to how dramatic the music is, but also to, like, you know, this sung through, almost sung through type musical. It's good. The reviewer said, too much drama to be a good musical and too much music to be a good drama.
Ooh.
Well, wait for the British invasion. Asian, mister, because you're going to get it. Just you wait.
Just you wait, Henry Higgins.
What do you got?
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary, and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
You know what?
Uh-oh.
Like I said before, like you said before, we don't talk about any of this stuff. Mine is a connective tissue, too, because mine is a memory play.
Oh.
A memory musical, if you will. And the writers of the show say that the show felt like Glass Menagerie at at Radio City Music Hall.
Okay, so not yours, Anne, the Diary of Anne Frank musical.
No,
okay.
Not that.
Dear Kitty. I actually have that record, but
I've got
non-
stuff
sequitur.
To say, but I won't right now.
Dear Kitty.
Okay. They describe this show as the Glass Menagerie at Radio City Music Hall.
Okay.
So
let me just picture that for a minute.
1968.
Ooh.
1968. The Glass Menagerie at Radio City Music Hall. These writers are coming off of their hot musical Cabaret.
Is the Happy Time?
The Happy Time.
I actually love this score.
Isn't this a great score?
Robert Goulet. A very young Michael Rupert.
Young Michael Rupert.
You guys might know from Falsettos or from
Pippin.
Young Ones, Legally Blonde. He was Professor Callahan.
Oh, yeah, Professor Callahan.
I always
fast
forward through that song, though.
Really? Okay. Sorry, Michael.
Sorry.
It's still like to have you on the show,
amazing.
Michael. You're great in Falsettos. Come on the show.
I was always like, because he's the creepy professor, you know what I mean? And he's like, there's a list shark and the whatever, you know, like.
Oh yeah, there's like a bunch of songs that like people always skip over, and I want to do a concert one night called the Skip Over Songs.
Something bad like is that, happening in Oz.
Like Wait. That would go. Your Legally Blonde song would go.
Yeah,
Chimp in a Suit from Dirty Rotten Scoundrels would be on there. Do you know what I mean?
Like, hey, do you guys have any other ones that you skip? You should tell us.
Yeah, what are your skip over songs?
Yeah, no, tell us please. Like, just send us a little tweet.
It just goes skip.
At Broadway Curtain.
At Broadway Curtain.
Yeah.
At howgreenwasmyvalley.com.
Yeah.
make sure you
go to the right
18.
One. Yeah, of course. Wait, so, all right.
Sorry,
walking.
The Happy Time.
The Happy Time. Great score.
So for those of
Kander
you
Neb.
Kander and Ebb. People who wrote Cabaret, wrote Chicago. This show, I think, has the potential to be a marvelous show. I think they need a new book writer on it. I think they need to fiddle with the book a little bit, and I think you're going to be in great shape. So for those of you who don't know what it's about, it's the story of a photographer in 1920s French Canada, mm-hmm. originally played by Robert Goulet, because, you know, when you think of French photographer, you
think of Robert Goulet, I would leave you.
And he's a photographer, and he hasn't been home for 5 years. He sort of has abandoned his family.
Kind of a prodigal son kind
of
thing.
And he comes home, and he takes his nephew, played by Michael Rupert, under his wing, and the nephew's having trouble at school. And the nephew says, you know, when you leave French Canada, I want to go with you, and I want you to take me away, and I want you to escape. I want to escape with you. And Robert Goulet says, of course, great, you'll come with me. And then he realizes, no, I only fly solo in life, and he abandons the kid. It's really a wonderful show. The story that it's based on is fascinating.
Mm.
what happened, unfortunately, was Gower Champion, when he directed it, wanted this entirely new visual concept to prove that he was really good with film. Gower Champion wanted to always be a film director.
Yeah.
And so when they did the Happy Time, he said, well, when we do the show and it's all about a photographer, mm-hmm. I want to make it about all the photography. And so I'm going to film all of these movies and I'm going to film all of these slides and they're going to be running throughout the show. Apparently, he spent more time on that than he did the show itself. Yeah. Then there was a book writer and Richard Nash, who also did The Rainmaker.
110 in the Shade.
And 110 in the Shade. And he was like, well, you know what I want to do is I want to take the story that was originally there, but I want to change it up a little bit. So like in the original play, Robert Goulet's character is a failure, but he comes back to his hometown and acts like he's this big success. And the guy was like, no, I don't want to do that. I actually want him to be really successful. So then there's like no stake.
Yeah.
There's nothing at stake there.
Yeah.
So I think if they went back to the original script and made it a really intimate piece, I think you'd be in really great shape. And there's some wonderful songs in it. There's I Don't Remember You, a beautiful ballad for a male. The song The Happy Time, which is a great opening number. There's a great trio for three men called A Certain Girl, which I think is adorable. And a really beautiful Candor and Ebb song called Among My Yesterdays. And I'm going to go on the record. I'm going to say this. I think out of all of Candor and Ebb's scores, this is the most emotional. And there is no better one out there for hitting you in the heartstrings and playing the heartstrings the way it needs to be played than The Happy Time.
Wow.
Not Steel Pier, not Curtains, not anything else. The Happy Time.
Wow, Rob.
Gorgeous, magnificent, romantic.
Yeah.
It just needs a new book.
All right.
That's, wow. And that is mine.
That's fantastic.
And it was so interesting. Like after this, Gower Champion and David Merrick produced it.
Yes.
They didn't work together for a real long time. Gower Champion demanded that the show open up in Los Angeles. So that way all the film people out there could see his work on it.
Wow.
So he obviously had an ulterior motive in why he wanted to do the show.
Yeah.
Goulet actually won a Tony Award for his performance.
Interesting.
And he was supposed to stay with the show, but he was having financial issues, and they offered him a lucrative contract in Vegas. And he's like, bye, everybody.
Bye.
And he left The Happy Time, and the show closed.
Bye, Felicia. I learned that as well.
That's a new term.
That's
bye, Felicia Rashad.
That's what
you say when the Cosby show's over. You go, bye,
God.
Felicia.
It's terrible.
That's what you say.
Bye, Felicia. Oh, right.
Felicia Rashad.
Well, anything with Robert Goulet. I mean, I love Robert Goulet. So, like, especially like 60s Robert Goulet, maybe not necessarily like the South Pacific tour from 10 years ago, but
So mine's The Happy Time, a memory play.
And mine is another memory play, A Time for Singing.
All right, listen to those two and tell us what you think. And let us know what your skipped songs are.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated. Besides Chimp in a Suit.
Chimp in a Suit.
Right? Isn't that something?
Yeah, and like the basketball song, the Michael Jordan song in Full Monty.
Oh, I always skip over that.
Oh, man. No
that,
way.
That one, I'm sorry.
No way, Jose.
I got Big Ass Rock.
Yep, that's
man.
A good one. Yeah.
What else is there? Harold's Life with Harold.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And then after... Oh,
but like the... You know...
Then after a while, I start
Michael
to,
Jordan. No, nobody's listening to that
song. I'm fine. We're fine. I'm good. I don't care about Michael Jordan's balls.
Bye, okay. Felicia.
On roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.